tikkun is a Hebrew word. It means to heal, repair, transform the world. But the tikkun community is not just a Jewish organization. It's co-chaired by Cornel West, you may know, great African-American. And we are an interfaith organization. I stress not just people of faith, because we have many Orthodox atheists in our organization. We're here in Boston. We're going to be meeting with Democratic Party delegates on Monday. We'd like to invite you there, in part to present a critique of the foreign policy position of John Kerry. We do that in part recognizing the strategy that he has taken, the strategy of running as Bush Light, as a plausible strategy, but we think deeply mistaken. Deeply mistaken because it will not speak and energize the American people, and as a result, even though people are hugely alienated from Bush, it has not translated into support for Kerry because of his failure to put forward an alternative vision that could excite the American people. And we want to say that that's a political mistake as well as a moral mistake. In part, one of the issues we're going to be raising, we in the Tikkun community feel very strongly that American foreign policy must change in the Middle East, and in particular in relationship to the Israel-Palestine issue. We are supporters of Israel, but we are also supporters of Palestine, and believe that the only path to peace there is one which recognizes the rights of the Palestinian people for national self-determination, just as the rights of Israel for national self-determination. And it is an affirmation of a progressive middle path that affirms the rights of both those peoples. That's part of a larger worldview that says that the best interests of the United States would be served by serving the best interests of the world. I want to get to that in a second, but I want to say first to you that it's very important for us to stop thinking primarily in terms of left-right dichotomy and to think of politics in a different way. To think of the primary issue in American politics as the movement of energy from either towards hope or towards fear. And that the critical thing that for a strategy for progressive movement is to try to figure out strategies to move the mass consciousness from fear to hope. And where we are at any given moment is someplace in this continuum, and the energy is always moving in one way or another. And so the strategy for progressive politics has to be one that moves towards hope. And that can't always be. That means that it's not enough for us to critique. It is not enough for us to say what's bad about the world, because the fact of the matter is that a lot of people know that the world is screwed up. That's not enough in order to move people from fear to hope. In fact, sometimes when you load on more and more and more of the negativity and how terrible things are, the response that people have is despair and leaving politics altogether. So we need a strategy that moves people towards hope. Now, what is that? Well, partly we need to articulate a vision, not of only of what we are against, but what we are for. I want to affirm the beautiful developments in the left and the progressive movements to affirm a world that is democratic, that is rejects sexism and homophobia, that rejects racism, that affirms the humanity of all people on the planet equally. That's extremely important. I also want to say that we need to go to another level in America. That is, if we are going to build a politics in this country, we have to recognize that the deprivations in this society are not only material, but spiritual. That the normal workings of the capitalist market create an ethos of materialism and selfishness that is internalized into the lives of people in ways that undermine loving relationships, that undermine solidarity, that leave people in a state of deep alienation from each other and from themselves, and that speaking to the the lack of love in this society is as important as part of a political strategy as speaking to the lack of economic equality in the society, that the two must go hand in hand. This is what we in Tikkun talk about when we mean a spiritual politics. A spiritual politics, or emancipatory spirituality, is a politics that addresses the hunger for meaning. You see, it turns out that people not only want material well-being, they also want their lives to be connected to some framework of meaning and purpose that transcends the materialism and selfishness of the competitive marketplace. Now, we, unfortunately, in the liberal and progressive world, have ceded those issues to the right. We've allowed the right to put itself forward as the champion of spiritual concerns and of ethical concerns. It's a distortion, but it's a distortion that we allowed to happen because we every time we hear that word spirit or religion or whatever, we knee-jerk to our correct understanding of the ways in which religious communities in the past have been homophobic, patriarchal, and oppressive. That's correct. But we've lost an understanding of the part of those communities that speaks to a real need. We need to find a way to speak to those needs without the homophobia, without the sexism, without the racism, but in a real and serious way. Now this is what the Tikkun community is about. We're going to talk more about this. We have several sessions here at the Boston Social Forum, and we have a leaflet here that tells which ones they are. Please come, and we're going to talk about this in more detail. But I want to say one or two things about what that would mean concretely. We are calling for a new bottom line in American society and saying that this is the essence of what a progressive politics could be. A new bottom line means a new definition of productivity, efficiency, and rationality. Today, institutions in this society are judged efficient, rational, productive to the extent that they maximize money and power. And we are saying, as a central part of what a progressive politics should be talking about, as part of our vision of the future, that we want that definition to be expanded so that institutions are judged efficient, rational, and productive, not only to the extent that they maximize money and power, but also to the extent that they maximize love and caring, ethical and spiritual and ecological sensitivity, and maximize our capacities to respond to other human beings in a non-utilitarian way and to the universe with awe and wonder and radical amazement at the grandeur of creation. Now, imagine taking that seriously, that people began to hear that what the progressive movement was about assessing institutions and assessing social practices, and we could very quickly say that almost every institution in our society is irrational, inefficient, unproductive. They do not tend to produce loving and caring human beings. No, not that we don't have lots of loving and caring human beings. We have them despite the institutions we live in, not because of them. They do not produce ethical, spiritual, and ecological sensitivity, and they do not encourage us to respond to other human beings in a non-utilitarian way so that we can see the beauty of other human beings not primarily in terms of what they can do for us and how they can help us out, but in terms of seeing each and every human being as an embodiment of the sacred. Now, that's a different way of visioning. And it's a way of visioning that people have not heard coming from the liberal and progressive forces, and it would be a transformation in American politics if the liberal and progressive forces were to start to talk in this kind of a language, to talk in a language of validating the sacred, of validating love and caring, of validating ethical and spiritual consciousness. But is that just empty words? We also need specific policies, and that's part of what the Tikkun community is working on developing. And I'll give you one such specific of what we are putting forward. We are putting forward the Social Responsibility Amendment to the Federal Constitution. The Social Responsibility Amendment says the following. Let every corporation in this society, this is an amendment to the Federal Constitution, okay? Dig it. It's going to take a while. Let every corporation with incomes of more than $30 million a year be required to get a new corporate charter once every 10 years, and that new corporate charter will only be granted to those corporations which can prove to a jury of ordinary citizens a satisfactory history of social responsibility. Instead of having to engage in endless struggles, this struggle and that struggle and that struggle, each of which are over small elements, and we don't deal with the big picture, it's time for us to deal with the big picture. So the Social Responsibility Amendment is such a way. This is a one of concrete way to talk about a new bottom line. But in a more general way, I want to say to you, I'm urging you to go for a different vision of politics, to go for a deeper vision of politics, to stop assuming that the other people on the right are our enemies. There are many people who are attracted to the right who have needs that are not dissimilar to ours, but they've never heard us speaking in a language that could appeal to them and making them know that we care about the same things they care about. So it is not empty new agey talk to talk about love, caring, generosity, and kindness. This is the center of a transformative vision, and the transformative vision is what is critical for us moving from our negative naysaying to being in a position of political power to actually transform the society. Thank you. Thank you.